Last episode, I crammed the incredibly eventful rule of Charles Riviere Herard into a single, unusually long episode. I ran through all the mistakes he made all the way up until the coup that replaced him with General Philippe Guerriere. In this episode, following the pattern of covering one president an episode, I will go through the brief and relatively uneventful regime of President Guerriere. So in the effort to just be done with Herard, I skipped over an important event that was one of the causes of the May 3rd coup, which brought Guerriere and his Boyerist backers to power. This event was a revolt in the north, which predated the May 3rd coup in Port-au-Prince. And to talk about that revolt, I must introduce its leader, who by the end of this episode will become president of Haiti, General Jean-Louis Pirot. Pirot was born in 1761 in a town about 20 miles from Cap-Haïtien. He had lived through and probably fought in the Revolution, and is known for sure to have commanded a black battalion at the Battle of Vertière, the final battle of the War of Independence. An interesting side note here is that he married the voodoo priestess who presided over the Boy Camon ceremony. Being northern, black, and a member of the military elite, he sided with Christophe in the Civil War. He was made a member of Christophe's nobility, given the rank of baron and then of prince. After the Civil War, he remained in the Haitian army. He harbored northerner and Christophian views. And so, on April 25th, 1844, with the backing of his soldiers, he declared the northern state of Haiti. But he declared it more as an anti-Herard movement than as a pro-northern movement. Since this was before the coup of May 3rd, he declared Guerriere president of the North, and sent a commission south to tell Port-au-Prince about this. This commission would end up helping to convince him to agree to be president during the May 3rd coup. Pirot and his army began marching on Port-au-Prince, but stopped when they heard of the coup and of the fall of Herard. At this, Pirot submitted to Guerriere. While the separatist movement had resulted in a sort of letdown, this would not be the last time we will have to deal with Christophian tendencies of the black military elite. In the weeks following the May 3rd coup, there was some degree of uncertainty over who was really in power. On May 9th, Guerriere was sworn into office, but Herard was still in the eastern city of Azua with 20,000 soldiers. Right after the coup, a group of guys were sent to Azua to offer Herard his pension and tell him that he had been couped. As for Dumas, he was thrown on an English warship after a gang tried to assassinate him. Upon hearing of this coup, an angered Herard decided to return to Port-au-Prince. Before doing so, though, he had his army sack and burn the Dominican city of Azua, which is, you know, a war crime. When he returned to Port-au-Prince, he considered trying to launch a civil war, as he still had some support. He decided against it, though, and so he got on the same boat as Dumas, and like Boyer, sailed to Jamaica. By turning on the revolution, Herard and Dumas had turned their backs on what had brought them to power. They had not just alienated, but actively betrayed all of their friends. Ultimately, it was these two democratic revolutionaries, the guys who had finally overthrown Boyer, who failed to bring democracy to Haiti. These guys had become traitors, and just a worse version of Boyer. Their brief revolution had killed itself as a child. With Herard gone, Guerriere and his Boyerist backers could turn their attention to the other great threat to his legitimacy, a coup and the peasant revolt in the south. After the May 3rd coup, the soldiers occupying the town of Aucaine had fled north. Following this, a rebel army loyal to a coup, but not really under his orders, took Aucaine and raped and pillaged across the small city. This was the first and only real atrocity committed by any of Aku's forces. He always kept his soldiers on a tight leash and prevented looting and pillaging, although nevertheless the people of Port-au-Prince still thought that he was going to come and kill them all. Aku and his army and army commanders all seemed enthusiastic about the change in power, given that Guerriere was black like them. But Aku's new end goal was to become head of a department, and so he tried to hold out from Guerriere for that reason. No one else, though, really cared about Aku's ambitions, and so cracks began to form between him and his lieutenants. On May 16th, Aku recognized the Guerriere government with two reservations. Number one, he wanted Herard stripped of his pension. Why should he be rewarded for betraying the people? Second, Guerriere had appointed someone to command both the South and West departments, and Aku wanted him gone. However, soon Aku's authority began to fall apart, and Guerriere tried to bring Aku's sub-commanders into alliance with himself. Guerriere also wrote to Aku and told him that he had stripped Herard of his pension. Seeing this, on June 2nd, he decided to submit to Guerriere, and after doing so, he was appointed district commander of Lakai. Second, Guerriere had appointed someone to command both the South and West Department, and Aku wanted him gone. However, soon Aku's authority began to fall apart, and Guerriere tried to bring Aku's sub-commanders into alliance with himself. Guerriere also wrote to Aku and told him that he had stripped Herard of his pension. Seeing this, on June 2nd, he decided to submit to Guerriere, and after doing so, he was appointed district commander of Lakai. Aku, however, was not destined to become a partisan of a colored-backed government. Despite being appointed a rank within the system, he continued to act autonomously and independently of the rest of the government in the region. This, of course, began to annoy all the other regional commanders who were angered by Aku's ignorance. They wrote to Guerriere, who summoned Aku to Port-au-Prince, to put him on trial for insubordination. He was, however, only tried for actions after he had submitted to the government. Nevertheless, he was indicted, tried by a military council, and then convicted and thrown in prison. This would, however, not be the last time we talk about Aku, though, and a second wave of his peasant revolution would eventually hit the mainland. Reading between the lines on this, it seems easy to infer that the new Boyeist government was just looking for an excuse to get rid of Aku. But I think that while this is certainly a possibility, considering that Aku would be released by Guerriere's successor, I think that this is far from a certainty. So Guerriere and his backers had claimed to have overthrown Herard, partly because he had dissolved the Constituent Assembly and created a dictatorship. Well, as soon as they took power, they declared the constitution dissolved and declared Guerriere dictator. Guerriere would rule without a constitution, but Guerriere was an 80-year-old drunk who was never going to run a country, so he had to receive some assistance. He had help from both a council of state, which had legislative power, and, confusingly, a council of four secretaries of state, a group which I will come back to in a second. He was also heavily influenced by his Boyeist backers. Second, Guerriere had appointed someone to command both the South and West Department, and Aku wanted him gone. However, soon Aku's authority began to fall apart, and Guerriere tried to bring Aku's sub-commanders into alliance with himself. Guerriere also wrote to Aku and told him that he had stripped Herard of his pension. Seeing this, on June 2nd, he decided to submit to Guerriere, and after doing so, he was appointed district commander of Lakai. Aku, however, was not destined to become a partisan of a colored-backed government. Despite being appointed a rank within the system, he continued to act autonomously and independently of the rest of the government in the region. This, of course, began to annoy all the other regional commanders, who were angered by Aku's ignorance. They wrote to Guerrier, who summoned Aku to Port-au-Prince to put him on trial for insubordination. He was, however, only tried for actions after he had submitted to the government. Nevertheless, he was indicted, tried by a military council, and then convicted and thrown in prison. This would, however, not be the last time we talk about Aku, though, and a second wave of his peasant revolution would eventually hit the mainland. Reading between the lines on this, it seems easy to infer that the new Boyeist government was just looking for an excuse to get rid of Aku. But I think that while this is certainly a possibility, considering that Aku would be released by Guerrier's successor, I think that this is far from a certainty. So Guerrier and his backers had claimed to have overthrown Herard, partly because he had dissolved the Constituent Assembly and created a dictatorship. Well, as soon as they took power, they declared the constitution dissolved and declared Guerrier dictator. Guerrier would rule without a constitution, but Guerrier was an 80-year-old drunk who was never going to run a country, so he had to receive some assistance. He had help from both a council of state, which had legislative power, and, confusingly, a council of four secretaries of state, a group which I will come back to in a second. He was also heavily influenced by his Boyeist backers, and while he was more than just a puppet, he wasn't much more than just a puppet. As for the East, Guerrier thankfully did not make the same mistake as Herard. That is to say, he did not try to invade the East again. That said, he sent Seligny Arduin to try to get the East to reunite peacefully, a mission which totally failed. However, as we will talk about more next episode, the border wasn't really defined between Haiti and the DR. This led to low-level skirmishes and ambushes on the eastern border, but nothing anywhere near as big as future invasions. So, the relative peace and stability in Haiti allowed Guerrier and his backers to turn their attention towards the administration, and he did some notable things in that field. He installed more local-level councils in cities like Port-au-Prince to allow these places the power of local legislation. Guerrier also built a new governmental school in the city of Lacaille, and he had a report done on education in the capital. He, and more importantly his backers, also turned their attention towards consolidating power within the new government. Remember the Council of Secretaries of State? Well, Guerrier purged two of the four members of it, both of whom were heavy opposition figures, and replaced them with Boyeist allies. For example, he gave Beobrun Arduin the position of Secretary of State for Education, Justice, and Religion. Everyone knew that Guerrier had a Boyeist government, and the opposition could not be a part of it. But no one cared about him purging the opposition, because at this point, Herard had made the opposition look so bad that Boyeists like Injinac were now becoming popular once again. But Guerrier was careful not to become too much of a new Boyeist. When they asked him, he didn't let Injinac re-enter the country, and he did not allow Boyer to get his confiscated property back. One aspect of Haitian history in these first decades after independence that I have heavily neglected is religion. Through most of the last 40 years I have covered, there have been many religious disputes and questions of religious sovereignty. Haiti was, at least in the urban areas, a majority Catholic country, but it had a struggling relationship with the Roman papacy. In 1844, Rome appointed a prefect of Haiti and sent him to Haiti. Thankfully, he was not white or French. In Haiti, the government acknowledged his control of the church with heavy limitations on what he could do. The big one was that all parish priests should be government appointed. Over these limitations, he and Beo Bernardin, who was running a lot of government policy, had a falling out. This was also because him and Arduin were both acting arrogantly towards each other. After this, this prefect soon returned to Europe, ending his brief prefecture. While Arduin ran the government's religious policy with no oversight from Guerriere, another one of the secretaries of state was running another aspect of governmental policy, security. So Herard had lost almost all his popularity. Almost. There still existed some people in Haiti who were still Herard loyalists. These included many people inside the military because, you know, Herard had appointed them. Some of these guys began forming yet another plot in Haiti, this time with the intention of bringing back Herard. Soon, rumors of a return of Herard were swirling around Haiti. At the end of March, Herard left Jamaica on a ship to take him back to Haiti. But the Secretary of State for War decided that he would not be caught flat-footed on this. Before the conspiracy had a chance to break out, he ran a large sweep across Haiti which unveiled and arrested the conspirators. These conspirators included some of the old opposition, and Jeremy, Lacai, Gonaives, Jack Mel, and Léogon. Conspirators were arrested and many were sentenced to death. They were executed immediately. Herard, for his part, came to Haiti and tried and failed to find a place to land his ship due to his incredible unpopularity. Anyway, on April 12th, Guerriere signed an order to put the Republic under the state of siege, although the plot had already been crushed. Thomas Mandeau writes that when Guerriere signed that order, he, quote, no longer knew what he was signing, unquote. This was because of how sick and old he had become. He had resided for most of his 11th-month presidency in St. Mark, a city bereft of political action. He liked it that way. At 4 in the afternoon on April 15th, 1845, Guerriere died of natural causes. This marks him as one of the few Haitian presidents to die in office of natural causes. Thanks to his short term as president, he was actually mourned by the population, unlike Herard or Boyer or Christophe. The next day, the Council of State elected Pierrot as the new president of Haiti. Like Guerriere, Pierrot was old, black, and had some level of national name recognition. He would make another great puppet. And so, next episode, we will run through the regime of Pierrot, who will be another president overthrown.